Well, that was good. Amen. If that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Amen. Thank the Lord. I appreciate that. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that somebody told me how to be saved. I'm glad that somebody loved and cared for me enough to give me the gospel. Amen. And I thank the Lord for his goodness. I got saved on I was a 13-year-old boy, fourth night of a revival meeting. And God came down and said, you may be a boy, you may grow up in church all your life, but that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. Ain't nothing about a church pew makes us perfect. Church pews don't wash away our sins. It's only the blood of Jesus. And I walked the aisle that night, got saved. Trusted Christ, greatest day of my life. Greatest day of my life was when I got saved. And I thank God for sending that preacher to tell us. Amen. I later went and worked for that pastor as an assistant pastor. And God was so good. And thank God for his blessings and his goodness. If you have your Bible this morning, go with me to the book of 1 John in the back of your Bible, back of your New Testament. 1 John, not the book of John, but the book of 1 John, which is, if you can't find it, go to the book of Revelation and go back a few books, all right? And it's right there, the book of 1 John. We're going to look at chapter 4 in God's precious word this morning. Boy, my heart is full already. Amen. And just thrilled with what God is doing and what God can do and just how God can use us. Amen. And you say, can God use me? Oh, yes, God can use you. Amen. And God can use you. Let's begin 1 John chapter number 4. And we're going to begin here with verse number 7. So follow along in your Bible this morning as I read 1 John chapter 4 and begin with verse number 7. The Bible tells us these words, beloved, let's love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. My, how, Lord, we just need your Spirit and your blessings on us today. And Lord, we've all come hungry, needing something from you today. And Lord, as the 5,000 sat, Lord, at the feet of Jesus, you took that bread, and those five loaves and two fishes, and Lord, you divided them up, and you prayed, and you gave that bread, those five loaves and two fishes, and all were filled. And so, God, would you take thy word again this morning and fill us and meet every need. Lord, there's somebody here today that may be drifting away from you. I pray thy love and thy grace and the mercy of God would, Lord, draw them back to you this morning. I pray for that one, Lord, who's going back and forth in their salvation. Maybe they're just kind of doubting it. And I pray for them this morning. I pray that, Lord, you'd give them something solid in their heart to know in and trust in. And then, Lord, there may be one here who has been saved a long time in life. And maybe they've been going to church a long time. And, Lord, maybe their Christian life has just kind of gotten a little dull. And I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would encourage them as we look into the wonderful truths of God's word to ignite our soul and our heart to love you more. So bless and meet every need, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I love this chapter. It is called the love chapter of the Bible. Us Bible believers sometimes shy away from love, but may I tell you what? It is the foundation of what we believe. The love of God. The love of God is real. It is real. The Bible teaches us that there is a God who loves us. There is a God who cares about us. There is a God that knows us very well. But yet, he still loves us. There is a God who sees every thought that we have, but yet he still loves us. There is a God who knows when our hearts drift from him and wander astray, but yet he still loves us. We're reminded that God is faithful, that God does not turn his love away from us. His love is always focused upon us. He knows the deep recesses of our mind. He knows the deep thoughts of our head. He knows them. In fact, he knew them before you thought them. And he loves you anyway. There's just something amazing about the power of unconditional love. We live in a world of conditional love. Do you know why many marriages break up? Because one says to the other, I will love you under these conditions. But if you don't meet these conditions, then I'm not going to love you. Can I tell you what? That's not real love. At least it's not Christ-like love. Amen. We live in a world where our friendships are formed based on what you do for me. If you do this for me, then I'll love you. If you don't do certain things for me, then I don't. Can I tell you, God is a million miles from that mentality. His mentality is, I love you no matter what. I'm interested in you no matter what. I know you better than you know you. And I choose to love you anyway. Now, I don't know about you, but that sends chills up my spine to know that God loves me, that God cares about me, God is interested in me. But I want you to notice some things about the love of God here this morning in the scripture that we read in 1 John. It teaches us in verse number 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God. Now stop just a minute and think about the word manifested. It is like the word saturated. It is like the word indelible or like marinated almost. Every sermon gets around to food sooner or later. Amen. And so it's like marinated. And man, that made me start thinking of some chicken breasts my wife makes. She marinates them, puts them on. Those are good, honey. Anyway, I'm sorry. But I digress. I had to leave from that point. But This is the point of love. Love is manifested. God's love is manifested. It is indelible in us. Now think about that for a moment. God's manifested his love toward us because he did something. Look at what the rest of the verse says. It says, in this, verse 9, this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, can I tell you, God manifests his love in his Son so that his Son can go into the world and show his love to us and be the propitiation for our sins. You say, what is a propitiation? It's simply a payment. A payment. God had a payment. You say, a payment? Yeah, see, sin is a debt. Sin is a debt that we have to pay one way or another. Every sin that we do has to have a payment. It has to be paid for. A righteous and a holy God cannot look on that sin, so he has to have a payment for it. So God said, I'm going to manifest my Son to come, and I'm going to have him be that payment for our sins and for your sins and mine. And when he died on the cross, he shed his blood, and that blood is the payment for our sin, and it can be your payment of your sin if you receive what Christ did for you. Now, that's what God manifested in us. Now, I want to show you some things. We're heading somewhere, so don't lose me, all right? You lose me, I preach very long, and your roast burns, and then you have to go out and get a McDonald's because your roast burned, and it'll be 3 o'clock before you get to have lunch. So I hope you'll listen really well to me this morning. Now, here's what Jesus did. It took three things. It took three things for Jesus to manifest the love of God in us. The first thing, he had to obey his Father. He had to obey his Father. God sent his Son, Jesus, and Jesus obeyed the Father. He came down to this earth. He left heaven's glory, and he came down to this earth out of obedience to the sending of God the Father to this earth. God sent his Son. It took obedience on the part of God the Son so that we could be saved. There's a second thing it took. The second thing it took was action. It took action. You ever had somebody say, I have love in my heart, but they don't ever have any action? I've counseled folks before, and the husband's never told his wife he loves her. Or he said, I told you once at the altar when we got married that I love you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Does that work, ladies? Doesn't work, does it? You know why? Because love is action. Love demonstrates what is in your heart. That's what caused God the Son to come down to the earth to save us. Number one was obedience. Secondly, it was action. Action. He actually fulfilled it. Can I tell you, that's exactly what God's trying to teach us in his word, is not just to know his word, but to put action into what we know from God. It does you no good to know the Bible if you're not going to do it. It does us no good to not read the Bible if we don't have a plan to do what we've read. God is trying to teach us through the love of God that love is, number one, it's obedience. It's number two, action. But there's a third thing that was involved in the love of God, and that is sacrifice. Sacrifice. God had to come down, and he had to willingly lay down his life for us? Did anybody force Jesus to die for us? No, he willingly laid down his life, and he became our sacrifice. Can I remind you that they put rusty metal nails into his hands for you? For you and for me. He did that for us. Can I remind you that they whipped him and beat him with a cat of nine tails? You know why he did it? He did it for us. He did it for us. Can I tell you, those crown of thorns I should have bore, but he bore them for me because he had love. He loved you, me. And he loved you to that degree that he was willing to die on that cross for you and me. His love was manifested by obedience. It was manifested by action. And it was manifested by sacrifice. You men, your wife slaves over a hot stove to cook you a good meal. Can I tell you? Can I tell you? She made a sacrifice for you. I have never been so thankful for my wife in all my life as this week. Amen. Amen. Because I'll never forget the mountains of laundry that had to be done this week. Mount Larson. I had to do that laundry. Oh, man. I didn't like that. And then it came to cooking. So we're going to the catch. Amen. That was my idea of cooking. And one night I didn't even want to get up and go. Matthew said, "What are we having for dinner?" I said, "Go in there and find something on your own." Amen. That's what I told him. And thank God my wife's home. Amen. Praise God. But can I tell you, when a wife cooks for you, that action and that sacrifice demonstrates her love. It does. And by the way, men, we ought to be appreciative. Your wife wrote me a note and told me to preach this message. So I'm preaching it. We ought to show appreciation. Amen. Now, God said this. We're going somewhere. He said his love was manifested because he had action, he had obedience, and he gave sacrifice. Without those three things, he could not demonstrate his love toward us. Okay, now watch this. Look at what Scripture says. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. What's the manifestation of love? Obedience, action, sacrifice. Those are the three ingredients of love. Don't tell me you love somebody if you don't have obedience, sacrifice, and action. Those three are the ingredients of a manifested love. And God taught us that. Now, here's what he said. He said, when I saved you, because as he is, so are we in this world. When God saved you and gave you his love, he said, I want you to demonstrate my love to this world. And how are we going to demonstrate it? Obedience, action, and sacrifice. I'm simply saying this morning that what God did in you, God wants to do now through you to somebody else. And he can't do that through us without obedience, sacrifice, and action. We must have these three ingredients in our hearts. Notice here, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So God is saying, when I came to you and I showed you my love and salvation, I gave you something not just for you to have, but for you to have to give. See, God came and gave these three things to us, that we might have his love in us. And can I tell you, God said that there's our brethren are out there, this lost world is out there. There are people all around us in this whole world that need that same love that God demonstrated to us. Action, obedience, and sacrifice. Oh, could I tell you this morning, somebody can see Christ in you when they see the love of God in you. You know that neighbor that you don't know if they're saved, or maybe they live a sinful life. Can I tell you what? If you have obedience, action, and sacrifice, that is the love of God manifested in you that can be seen to your brothers in this world. See, God didn't save us just so we could feel his love, sacrifice, and his blood. God didn't save us just for that. He saved us that he can do this through us. Through us. To those in this world. I heard a story about a man who, it was his job to be a trestle bridge raiser. And in the old days, he would raise the bridge, the railroad bridge, when a ship would go under in the river. And when a train would cross, he would lower that so the train could cross. And it was his job to raise that bridge and lower that bridge all day long. And one day, he decided to take his son to work. He brought his son to work with him. And his son thought that was exciting, to see the trestle bridge go up and raise up and then come down. And he thought it was great, and he was proud because his daddy was the one who had that job. And the story is told that as the man was paying attention to his job, that he lost track of his son. And somehow, to his knowledge, lack of knowledge, he saw a train coming after the ship had just passed, and he had to lower the bridge. But he noticed on that bridge something happened, that when he lowered that bridge, that his son had gotten loose and his son had gotten caught on that bridge. And then a decision had to race through his mind in a split second. Am I going to lift that bridge up so that thousands of people, or probably hundreds of people, will plunge over that river to their death to save my son? Or will I save my son, or sacrifice my son and see that all of them would go free? And the man made a split-second decision today, out of the brokenness of his heart, and he left that trestle bridge down. And when that bridge went over, the man said, I looked into the eyes of those passengers who were driving by, some reading their newspaper, some were laughing, some were enjoying their time, some were playing a game, some were sleeping. He said, and as I looked at the eyes of those people that passed, I said, my son gave his life for you. My son gave his life for you. Can I tell you something? God's dear son gave his life for you because he loved you. And it took obedience, it took sacrifice, and it took action for him to do that. And why did God do that? Why did God manifest that love in us? Just to give us a home in heaven? Thank God, that's a byproduct. But if God wanted just to give you a home in heaven, he'd have taken you to heaven right when you died, right when you got saved. He wouldn't have left you on this earth. The purpose of us living on this earth is so that action, sacrifice, and the obedience of God can be demonstrated through us. And by the way, it's not us. It's God in us. that allows us to be able to give these three things to a lost and dying world. There's nothing special about any Christian other than the fact that God's given us something that we can give to a lost and dying world. And I want to tell you something. That is exactly what God tells us to do when he reminds us in this world. He says, verse 11. He said, beloved, he gets done explaining this love. And then he says in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. You say, what is he talking about? He's talking about obedience. He's talking about action. He's talking about sacrifice. He's not talking about a feeling. God the Father didn't look to God and his Son and say, Son, I want you to go down to the earth and die for men. And Jesus look at God and say, oh, okay, well, that feels really good. Feelings wasn't the part of it. It was action, obedience, and sacrifice. And God said, that's the same love that I put inside of you when you got saved. And God said, there's somebody out there that needs your action, your sacrifice, and your love. Because your love, God's love dwells in you. If you're saved, God's love is in you. And he made that clear. And he said, he said, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God hath, the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and in him. God is simply saying, hey, there's a lost and dying world out there. Somebody needs our love, which is sacrifice, obedience. You get it. I said it 30 times already. Amen? Now, here's my point. Here's what I'm trying to say this morning. I'm trying to say this morning that God needs all of us to keep our hearts open to God and let his love go through us to this world that we live in. You see, the lady that you work with is going to come to work tomorrow with an attitude. She had a bad weekend. Maybe her kids mistreated her, or somebody mistreated her. Maybe she had an argument with her family, and she's going to come in tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, she may be hurting, but you know what she needs? She needs sacrifice, action. She needs sacrifice. She needs action. She needs our obedience to God in our heart. That's how you show the love of God. That's how you show it. That's how you demonstrate it. That's how you show it to your wife, man. That's how you love your wife. You ladies are getting a lot of mileage out of this message. Amen. That's how you love your wife. Action, obedience, and sacrifice. It's simple, but let me tell you something. This is what God did in us so that we can take what he did in us and go to a lost and dying world and show them what they need. That lady at work tomorrow is going to need that love. She's going to need the love of God. You're going to find yourself in situations of people who need the love of God. I was at church, it's probably about 7-8 years ago, I was at church early Sunday morning, and there's a lady came up. She pulled up her car here, and she said, preacher, I'm out of gas. She didn't ask for gas. She said, pastor, I'm out of gas. Can I park my car here? I said, I'll do one better. I said, can I get you some gas? She had a mower. We had some gas in a gas can. Had a 5-gallon gas can back there and for the mower. And I said, I got some gas. Would you do that for me? I said, well, yeah, sure. That'd be fine. And took some gas and just filled up her car. To me, it was a simple thing. It wasn't a big deal. But to her, she thought, wow, why would somebody do that for me? And she just couldn't understand it. Now, that's just a simple little thing, but, you know, anytime we show love to this world, they need our action, our obedience, and our sacrifice. You know, that's how the love of God is manifested in us, is when we do what Jesus did for us to somebody else. Amen. See, what God did for me isn't just for me to take and enjoy. It's for me to do what he did for me through me so that somebody can hear the gospel and be saved in heaven. And that love then goes through that person to somebody else. And that person, the love of God, goes through them to somebody else through the obedience, sacrifice, and that God will take what he does in our lives and change us and make us a whole lot better. Somebody needs your love. Somebody needs the love of God that he gave to us, passing through you. You say, but preacher, I'm afraid to show the love of God. You know, the Bible said there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Love creates a boldness in us. Love says, all right, I can give of myself. I can go. I can give something of myself. I thank God for that kind of love, because that's the love that God and this world needs to see. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. But verse 18, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. God says, hey, the love of God needs to be shown through us, through somebody else. I think that's why Brother Miles is here. That's why we're going to do something. We're going to go to Brazil and bring those John Romans there and show them the love of God. Not because it's us. We're nothing. We're that song that Brother Brett chose this morning. We're sinners saved by grace. But thank God for the grace of God. That though he was rich, yet he became poor. That through his poverty, we might be rich. And that love can get passed on to somebody else. That somebody else can know the love of God. That somebody else can be saved. Don't you think that first split second, that soul, that when they die and close their eyes in death and they open their eyes in heaven rather than in eternal hell, and there is an eternal hell forever. And when they open their eyes in heaven, realizing they could have ended up in hell, how grateful and thankful they're going to be, how happy and rejoicing they're going to be when they know what they missed and they know what they received. And it all started when God the Son obeyed, sacrificed, and acted that you and I could be saved. And it's the same way someone gets saved through you. Don't look at this world as mean, evil, ungodly. They're just people that need the love of God. They need the love of God in you. And I want to encourage you, friend, today, find somebody that you can show the love of God to. Find somebody that you can act upon, obey God, and say, look, I want to sacrifice for you. You know, it's amazing. The hardest heart recognizes when somebody sacrificed for them. The meanest person in the world can soften when they recognize somebody had a sacrifice for them. It's amazing what sacrifice does in our heart, how it changes our mind. And when there's somebody out there who needs the love of God, sacrifice, obedience, and action will be the key. Brother Miles, I want to get those 50,000 John Romans to those people. And you say, is it possible to love people that you never even met? Yeah. You know why? Because the love of God is in me, and He loves them. Amen? The love of God's in me, and He loves them, so I can have the same capacity to love them that God loved them. But they're not going to see the love of God unless we act upon it, unless we sacrifice something, unless we say, all right, I'm going to obey you, Christ. I'm going to obey that great command. I'm going to obey God. Well, God will be blessed. Oh, listen, the love of Christ. Is the love of Christ in you? You say, preacher, that's a tall order. Just remember something. If you want the love of God to come out in you, and you're saved here today, and you know the Lord, then what you ought to do is remember and think about how much God gave to you and sacrificed to you. Those nails had your name on it. That crown of thorns had my name on them. That cat of nine tails, He took for me. He took for you. And when I realized the sacrifice that He made for me, it doesn't hurt me to learn to sacrifice for somebody else, to give them. Oh, can I tell you, we ought to love this world just like God loves them. We ought to care. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes money. It takes sacrifice. It takes obedience to the will of God. But that is the perfect love of God manifested in us. Herein is His love made perfect in us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want this world, I don't want to go through life with this world seeing me. I want to go through life with this world seeing Christ in me. If they see me, they'll be disappointed. If they see Christ in me, they'll be elated, full of joy. And that is the whole difference of what the love of God can do and how it can change our life and how it can make us a whole new person again. I'll close with a simple story. There was a missionary who visited another missionary one day. And he said, hey, I'd like to talk to some of your tribe. And I want to find out what the Lord did in them. And he went to one of the natives in the tribe and he said, hey, I know that you've been saved, and I want you to just tell me, what has the Lord done for you? The native reached down, and he saw a worm on the ground. He took the worm, and he placed it there. And then he took a bunch of dried leaves, and he took all those dried leaves, and he made a circle of the dried leaves around the worm. And the worm's on top of the ground just wiggling. And all around him is this ring of dried leaves. The native then took his flint and he lit those leaves on fire. And the smoke rose so much that you couldn't hardly even see the worm anymore. And the fires were getting closer and closer. And as he pushed the smoke away, he could see the worm was wiggling and wiggling more than ever. He had nowhere to go. He was encircled by that flame. And he saw that flame. And finally, when those flames just got to the point where they would affect that worm, that missionary reached down. He took that worm and he picked him up and pulled him out of the smoke and the fires and the safety. And he looked at the missionary and he said, that is what God did for me. It was what God did for me. Can I tell you, friend, God did the same thing for you. He pulled you out of a fire that you deserved in payment for our sin, but He pulled you out because He loved you. He loved you. And he sacrificed, he acted, and he obeyed God the Father so that could be done. And oh, I want to tell you, that's exactly what God did for you. Friend, maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. You know what receiving Christ as your Savior is? It is receiving the love of God, the sacrifice, all of these things that God did for you. It is to receive those into your own heart, to recognize that you're a sinner and that our way that we have gone is gone against God's way. And that we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, save me. And you loved me so much that you want to save me. And his love comes in and saves your soul for eternity forever. And I want to tell you something. You can know that love of God. You can know that love of God. It all depends on what you want to do in your heart. You see, the heart is the place where you either accept or reject Christ. To say no to God is to say no in your heart. To say yes to God is to say yes in your heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. It's what you do with Christ in your heart. He loves you. You can reject him if you want. And by the way, simply to do nothing is rejecting Christ. Simply to just do absolutely nothing, say yes or neither yes nor no, is rejecting Christ. But God wants you to choose his love today. He wants you to be saved and know it. And God wants to take you like that worm, pull you out of that fire and give you a home in heaven someday if you'll receive him, if you'll trust him. Would you trust him today? Would you put your faith in Christ? Nobody's ever loved you like God does. He wants to save you from your sins. There had to be a payment for your sins. And he went and paid for it on that cross because of his great love. But you have to receive him. Would you open your heart today and trust him if you've never been saved? Maybe somebody's listening online and you're hearing the message today and you don't know you're saved. There's a God that wants to save you and give you a home in heaven if you'll trust him today. You can trust him. Let's bow our heads this morning.